The gang is all here, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Hour number three on this Thursday afternoon as we're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight, it's the Predators and Anaheim Ducks. They've got two more games before the break, All-Star slash bye week, where they will get some time off, and then they'll come back and close out the month with three more games. But tonight, it's the Anaheim Ducks, 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6, and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are excited to talk to new offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. He's been nice enough to stop by here. We learned a lot about him during the break. We learned that he went to Ohio Wesleyan with baseball coach Tim Corbin. By the way, thanks for coming over here, Todd. Good to see you. Nice to meet you.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's an exciting time to be here.
Yeah, pull that mic real close so everybody can hear you.
There you go.
So you were there, what, a couple years with Tim Corbin?
Yeah, he was a couple years older than me. 2 years, I believe, he's in front of me. So we crossed over about 2 years and have a lot of mutual friends and texted with him every once in a while. But looking forward to get a chance to catch up with him and see him. I know he's done a great job here and won a couple national championships. So look forward to getting that dugout this spring and see what he's got all about. So,
there's no doubt. There's a lot of expectations, as you can imagine, especially coming off winning a national championship. How did this all come about? How did you end up here in Nashville and now part of Derek Mason's staff?
You know, as our season wrapped up, actually out recruiting the first week, we had a good season this year. And, Jason Grooms, who works there at the university, is in the football department. He and I go back years, mutual friends, and they kind of had a list of people. And they gave me a call and said they want to talk to me about this situation. And obviously I knew about the city, the conference, the academic background of this school, and it just was an exciting opportunity. It's going to be a great challenge, but, you got a special thing here with everything going around this city and obviously the university. And as we talked more and more, Coach Mason and myself, it just seemed like a natural fit. I liked what he was all about, and, everything just kind of gelled together nicely.
So you were in Louisiana Tech, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Offensive coordinator at Louisiana Tech this last 4 years, actually. Yes.
And you guys were obviously having success. You're getting to bowl games every Skip Holtz, right?
Skip Holtz won 6 bowl games in a row, nation's longest streak. It was us and Wisconsin going into this year, and Wisconsin got beat in the Rose Bowl, and we beat Miami in the Independence Bowl. So we won 6 straight and had a great season, won 10 games this year, and had a nice little run there.
Did you have Driscoll?
Driscoll was done the year I got there.
Okay, I knew it was right around there.
Yeah, I know Jeff and met him a few times, and very fortunate there. We've had a good run of players and a lot of guys that have gone on to success in the NFL, and it was a special place to coach, and, I'm forever grateful to those guys that gave me this opportunity.
Moving into the SEC, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge for you personally?
I spent 5 years at South Carolina previously, so I'm, familiar with what this league's all about. But the game is won and lost up front. There's skill guys everywhere. You got to get yourself in position at the offensive line and defensive lines to compete at a certain level. And that's one of the things offensively we got to do a good job of finding out where our strengths are and our returning players and some of the younger players and make sure we're providing them with the best advantage we can in terms of schematics and how we do things. So it starts up there, and then obviously the quarterback position. You got to find out what your kids can do. We have some unproven things there, obviously. So spring ball is going to be critical. Everybody says, what do you got to get done? I've told every player I've met with, really, we got 3 things we got to do. We got to find out what our strengths and weaknesses are personnel-wise, what we can do well. It's great to have a scheme, but, your scheme may not match your talents of your team, of your personnel. And then we got to identify people that are playmakers, who can make a play for us. And really, those are the 3 things we're trying to get done in spring. So looking forward to getting on the field with those guys and installing our concepts. And I've really been impressed by the kids, their makeup, and they're excited. They know where they're at. They know that what maybe they missed on last year, and I think they're hungry to come back and have a good football team.
I realize everybody would like to be in the situation that we just watched Monday night, where we just witnessed the 2 number one picks in the NFL draft in consecutive years.
Yeah.
It's going to be Joe Burrow this year, and it's going to be Trevor Lawrence next year. I mean, I get it. Every program's looking for those guys, but we know that those guys are special and they don't grow on trees. But you brought up the quarterback position. It's no secret how critically important it is in today's game.
Yeah.
To have that quarterback. So with that being said, how do you feel right now about where that is? I know there's a lot of young guys, but
I think there's some young people there. There's a junior college transfer that's on campus. I think the one thing if you can put your head on the pillow at night and rest a little bit easier, is within this system that we run, We're talking about Louisiana Tech. There's been four different quarterbacks that have thrown for over 3,000 yards. We've taken fifth-year transfers there. We have developed a young guy who just got down there, Jamar Smith, and it's a quarterback-friendly system. And so with these young guys, and we have one of them on campus this spring, plus the junior college transfer, it would be really good for us to kind of find out, like I said a second ago, what their strengths are, and within our system adapt what, you know, matches the best. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a challenge. There's no way around that. But in some ways it's a good thing because they're blank slates. There's not a lot of bad habits. There's not things that maybe have been ingrained in their mind for the last 3 years in a system that you're trying to break, because that's hard sometimes. It's like, you know, you learn to swing a bat a certain way. It's tough to change that stroke, you know. And so as much as it concerns me, that I'm encouraged by that it's a blank slate and they're all eager to learn.
When we travel, Todd, sometimes what we do, you go into other markets, it's just natural to listen to, you know, what do they sound like in that market doing sports talk radio. So you listen in on how they operate in other markets.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there watching another game, whether it's the national championship game or the playoffs, what goes through your mind as an offensive guy? I mean, how much do you sit there and study what LSU and Clemson were doing or whatever game you're watching? How does that work in your world?
You hit it best. You actually watch it a little bit differently through your eyes and what they're doing schematically, how they're approaching it. Being in the state of Louisiana, I know the LSU guys, we played them last year, and I see how they changed things from last year to this year in their system. And so there's a lot of similarities. There's some of the same plays. I watched the first three plays of the SEC championship game, and I was texting with one of our coaches at Tech, and like, those are our three, you know, we run those three plays. It's, you know, it's funny. So you watch it and see how people are evolving, how the game is changing, because you always try to stay out in front of things. And, you know, you're always looking for, you know, things that make you better. And that's, you know, always trying to learn. If you stop learning, you're dead in this business, and that's what you're always trying to do.
We're talking to Todd Fitch, new offensive coordinator for the Vanderbilt Commodores, and Coach Derek Mason. And, Coach, along those lines, one of the things that I noticed in the playoff games, even though you had great passers like Joe Burrow, they used him as a runner. It seems to me like if your quarterback can run, in college especially, it really makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Well, there's no doubt in the world, there's a lot of terms for spread offense now. You know? And that's what, you know, we run a form of spread. But that the ability of the quarterback to do one of two things, A, run the ball, as you mentioned, in certain ways, and B, keep plays alive in the passing game, extend plays. Joe Burrow, the first series, broke three tackles and throws the ball downfield. And if you look at the NFL's changed. Mahomes. We coached against Mahomes when I was at Louisiana Tech. We played a game. There was one punt the entire game. We punted one time. It was 40-something. At that point there, we knew that guy's pretty good, you know. But you look at the quarterbacks in the NFL, it's even changed.
Did you really know? I mean, when you came away after that game, you're like, holy cow, that kid's special.
We watched him warm up. And we knew they were good on offense, and we were good on offense. We were both top 10 offenses that year. It was my first year at Tech. And one of our coaches was down on the sideline. I'm in the box, and he makes a couple plays. And, you know, like I said, there was one punt in the entire game.
Wow.
And the coach was a former NFL player, Tim Rattay. He played at Louisiana
Tech.
And so Tim is on the sideline. He goes on the side. He goes over the phones. He goes, hey, Todd, this guy's special, you know, because he could throw it any arm angle, make any play, you know. And so, you know, the evolution of the quarterback position overall has changed at all levels. But the ability for that guy to do those things you talked about, to run the ball in certain situations. We run our quarterback in the red zone, you know, different scenarios. And the ability in the passing game to keep plays alive and extend, because defenses are too fast, too big, too physical to stand back there and just, you know, protect all day long. And in this conference, as we talked about, the Southeastern Conference, that's what sets it apart. There's good skill players in the Big Ten, all these different conferences, but the front seven on defense in the SEC is what sets it apart. And so your quarterback has got to be able to do some of those things to continue to move the ball down the field.
Do you like what's the tempo that you like to play? That's another thing that you notice these days you know, teams are ready to jump on that ball and get ready for the next play, and then if they need to, they'll look over and then they'll take their time, slow it down if they want to.
That's a great question, and here's how I phrase it. We're a no-huddle system. We're not playing at breakneck speed every snap, because that can dilute your offense a little bit too. But we have the ability to change tempo. And everything you do, and as we look as an offense, as we're teaching the offense to our staff right now, is does that give us a competitive advantage? You know, it's awfully hard to come out of a huddle and let that defense set their feet in the ground and say, oh, here we come. And there's, you know, 300-pounders across from me across the board. So, you know, we will play at tempo. We'll try to dictate tempo at different levels of the game to try to create that, as I mentioned, a competitive advantage for our people up front. Because the matchups are tough, as we know, you know, the people we're playing against. So as we went back to the offensive line, that's one of the ways we can help our line get a little movement and slow down the defense.
Another thing that has become such a trend, and, you know, at first I didn't know what they were talking about, but now I've, you know, as they slow it down, you watch people break it down on TV and stuff, but the RPO, the run pass option, has now become sort of routine,
sure.
Right? And LSU obviously did it very, very well, and they're not the only team doing it.
No, that's really growing, and if you watch the NFL, some of those guys, they're showing plays that aren't RPOs. Everybody's trying to guess what they are. But,
right.
anyway, it's a big part of the game. It's evolved over the last 3, 4, 5 years. We've grown with it. A couple, 2, 3 years ago, if you study our tape, we were doing pieces of it, and we actually grew this year to another level, if you will. And it was really one of the reasons we ended up being the number one offense in the league during the regular season.
Is it hard to teach? How hard is it to teach?
No, it's actually not hard to teach, really. But the thing about the RPO, it actually simplifies for the quarterback. It really narrows down the pass read to a one-man read, if you will. Mm-hmm. So you can take a young quarterback and say, hey, we're throwing off of this guy or we're handing the ball off this guy. Mm-hmm. Where you get into the dynamics of it is when there's pressure coming, when maybe the look's not right for your front, mm-hmm. that you have to have the ability to get out of that. But once the ball is snapped and the decision-making for a quarterback, it's actually, I don't want to say simple, but it's not overly complicated. So I think that's why a lot of people have evolved to it. We've done it for years. You know, probably, you know, if you broke down our running game, we'll have some kind of relief on probably 75-80% of our runs. It won't just be a run. It will be some kind of relief out there, whether it's a downfield throw, a screen, something off of it. Because, like I said, everything you're trying to do is stress a defense. You know, trying to stress their defense somehow, some way, so that they just can't dictate to you all day long. But the RPO is something that's certainly revolutionized, I guess is the word you'd say, the game, and it will be here to stay.
Speaking of running, we've gotten very nostalgic with Titans history, with them playing in the championship game. One of the guys that you coached along your stops here was a guy named Chris Johnson.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was pretty good, wasn't he? So tell me when you first saw him, like, because when he jumped in to the Titans, mm-hmm. we didn't know a whole lot about him. You know, he's your first-round pick, so you start doing your homework. And then immediately when we saw him on the field, you're like, wow, this guy's something. So what was your first impression of him?
You know, I when I went to – Coach Holtz and I had a long history together, so I went back with Coach Holtz at East Carolina, and my first spring was going into Chris's senior year. And I had him on my side in the spring game. And, you know, he's had talent, but really hadn't taken off at East Carolina up until that point. And in the spring game, I'll never forget, it's like yesterday, he's on my team, we're winning, we're just trying to run at the clock, and I made him run some inside run plays, and he was doing a really good job. It was a spring game, and he came over, I said, you know what, you're becoming a football player now. And I remember that time right there that happened. And then I tell the story, the first two games of the year, he wasn't our leading carrier. We opened up Virginia Tech that year, and we had two senior tailbacks. I always say, Dominique Lindsay, everybody's like, who's that? I said, that was our leading rusher the first two games, who nobody knows about, you know, but – I can remember it like yesterday. It was 3rd and 17. We're playing the University of North Carolina at home again in Greenville. We got behind the chains. We threw a screen pass to him. He took it like 76 yards for a touchdown, and he never looked back. He took off, and he had a fantastic year for us. We beat Boise State in the Hawaii Bowl that year. At that point, he broke the all-time record for total yardage in a bowl game against Boise. We beat them at Hawaii, and he just had a great year. He bought in. He's never an issue. He practiced hard. He prepared hard. And, you know, and when the scouts came in, and I remember them talking to me about him, I said, well, he can really run. They said, great. And they said, well, how fast? I said, well, to put it this way, when he goes to the combine, I'll be surprised if he runs over a 4.4. And they're looking at me, okay, yeah, right, you know, because everybody runs slower to combine than he ran his 4.24 or whatever it was, you know. And you just chuckle, but really happy for him and did a great job in that year I had him as the offensive coordinator. And that's what you like, you know, guys have a great senior year and go on to a career in the NFL.
Do you have time? Can we take a break and come back?
Yeah, sure.
Larry, can we do that? All right, let's do that. We'll come back. Vanderbilt offensive coordinator Todd Fitch here at the table with us at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Chase, you'll jump in here on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
back here at Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Todd Fitch, the offensive coordinator of the Vanderbilt Commodores, is here with us. And listening to you kind of explain how your offense works, I'm always curious of, especially when you come to a new place, and it's unique for you because you mentioned the quarterbacks being very young and all coming in, and you can kind of mold them the way that you want. But coordinators that come into an established offense and players that have been there and having to take their system but also mold it around the specific players, especially a quarterback, how difficult yet important is it to do that?
Well, that's the whole key. You know, like I said, the system, the good thing about the system is it has some flexibility to it, but at the end of the day, you have to do what your players can do best. And that's really going to be our challenge in those 15 days of spring as we exit spring ball and head into summer, that we have a good feel of what we can do at that position and where our potential growth is, because you that's important, but then you have to add on just the game experience. You know, that's going to be another next evolution of managing a game at this level and the pressure that you face, you know, win, lose, draw, you know, success, failure. And that's a whole other level. So it's critical we do a great job of kind of wrapping our arms around that and putting our guys in the best position we can.
So what is your process right now as you know, you're not on the field, you're coaching the players. Is this more of a research time for you of watching film of the players that you have, maybe looking at the conference as a whole?
No, that's a good question. Actually, Coach Mason did a great thing. He had like a 15 or 20 play clip of everybody's played, which I had not had. So you walk in the door and you watch all the, you know, every guy that's really played for us. So it gives you a little visual of what they're capable of. Really, and with the staff being new, it's really been a lot the last couple days of, you know, kind of teaching the offense to the staff, you know, how we call things, what the verbiage is, and getting everything ready for our player meetings, which will start in February when we get off the road. We're going back out recruiting here for a couple of weeks starting tomorrow, actually. And then really just trying to get that all organized and ready to go so that we sit down and teach these guys that they have a good foundation, get hit in the field in February as we start spring ball.
Is it difficult to jump in right now, being new, and then go out recruiting when you've been recruiting somewhere else and now you're recruiting here?
It's a little herky-jerky. So it's been good to be with our staff, get to know them, and like I said, kind of go through some things. The players are chomping at the bit. They want, you know, this, that, and the other. And I was like, you know, I didn't want to start now, stop for 2 weeks, and start again. So, but it's been good to kind of familiarize myself. I've met with every guy on offense, but maybe five or six so far player-wise. So just trying to get to know those guys, kind of where they're at, where their mindset is. And, you know, it's about relationships. I don't care where you coach, what level you coach. People forget that. You know, the players, there's an old saying, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And so really trying to get around them, get to know them, all our coaches are, and try to develop those relationships as we build into spring practice.
How much has the early signing period changed the whole recruiting game?
It's changed a lot. You know, things have sped up. You know, summertime is more active, obviously, official visits, those kind of things. And so, you know, like now, you know, three-quarters, 90% of your class is done, you know, and so you're on to the next class and just trying to finalize some things. But it's changed our profession quite a bit. There's really no downtime. The summer used to be kind of take a deep breath, have your camps, you know, kind of enjoy yourself, take a little vacation. But there is no real break time now. You know, there's a little dead period in July, but it's really accelerated everything. Sometimes I don't know if it's really for the betterment of the kids, to be honest with you, but it's not going backwards. It is what it is, and we've got to, you know, stay with the times.
Coach Mason made changes at both coordinator positions, bringing you in and Ted Roof in to run the defense.
Yes, sir.
When you look at the program that he's trying to build and rebound after last year, how beneficial is it to have two outside voices come in and say, well, you know what, maybe you should try this and kind of look at it from a different point of view?
Well, I think that's a good point also. You know, Coach Roof and I know each other a little bit from, you know, years gone by, so there's some familiarity just, you know, with each other.
I feel like all you coaches know
each other. it's a small network, there's no doubt. But, no, I think that's something, you know, that Coach Mason will certainly use because, you know, how you format your practices, how you may be trained in the offseason, and all those things are valuable. And anytime you know, change is hard for everybody. But the staffs I've been on, you know, the last year we changed over four coaches at Louisiana Tech. But everybody comes with a new idea, maybe a different way of doing something. And that's kind of our business has become very fluid. You know, that's just the nature of the business now. So those ideas are all good, and I'm sure he'll ask a lot of questions, opinions on how we've done things at places. He's coming from a place that won 12 and we won 10, so I'm sure that he'll have some questions, and hopefully we can give some good ideas.
How do you think he did in the coach's film room? for the national championship game. I'm sure you peeked in.
I peeked in once or twice, but I was actually looking for a house with my wife and bouncing around, and I had 9,000 things going on. But, nah, he's got a great personality. You know, when he called me about the job, we spoke on the phone 30 minutes or so and then had a chance to meet with him. He's got a great personality. He loves his place. He really cares about the players. And, you know, when you hang up the phone sometimes, you say, it's not for me. I'm not sure, you know, we'd fit. But been really impressed by him. I really have. He, you know, he's got the right attitude about things, and he knows where we're at, and we're attacking it every day full speed.
I know this has been a little bit of a whirlwind for you coming here and, like you said, looking at houses and all that, but I'm going to put you to the test as we wrap this up. Can you tell me the opponent you guys play on November 21st?
November 21st, Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech. Isn't that ironic?
Yes. I'll be honest with you. When he called me about the job, I had no idea. It was an early season game. It was an early season game, like game one, game two type deal. And then as I got deeper and deeper into it, one of the guys on our staff back at Louisiana Tech says, you know, we play them next year. And I was like, no, I didn't know that. But that will be
second to last game of the year.
Yeah, that will be unique. You know, love those guys there and some really good players. But at that day when we kick off, I really don't care about them. So we'll be excited to play them. Let's say that.
I just thought that was crazy. Louisiana Tech is on the schedule this year.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Best of luck. We'll continue talking to you. I know this is the off season, but like you said, there is no off season. There is this thing called National Signing Day just around the corner too. So that'll be big. Good to see you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate you having me on, and looking forward to watching the game this week and tighten up.
All right. There we go. Yeah. New offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. We appreciate him stopping by Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. We will come back with more of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.